You know, there's nothing like Raw ending at 11 p.m. and literally 30 seconds later, coming next on Temptation Island. You know, I really would have sucked it if the cameras weren't rolling. I mean, look, it doesn't bother me, but it's fucking funny to, you know, to see the drastic difference between the two. I'm serious, literally. That's pretty funny, man. Good evening, everybody. It is what, the 10th? Yeah. 10th of July, 2023. Welcome to this post-Raw show. I am Don Tony. Want to thank you for joining me. I got to be honest with you, tonight's Raw was good, but it felt like a hell of a lot of rinse and repeat. I mean, don't get me wrong, that main event was funny, and it was fun, and it was exciting, and it was nonstop action. But how many times have we seen this fucking formula in 2023? Seth gets beat down, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn make the save, six-man tag, match made for later in the night. Riddle gets the shit knocked out of him, Owens and Zayn make the save later on the night. Imperium versus the threesome in a six-man. Cody Rhodes getting beat down later on the night, Imperium. I mean, we have had this six-man main event. It's got to be at least 10 times in 2023. I mean, and the foes are usually the Judgment Day or Imperium or early on the Bloodline. Because I do remember the Bloodline. And didn't they take on four guys? I think they took on Owen, Zayn, Riddle, and Cody? Oh, no, it wasn't Cody. It had to have been Rollins or somebody else. They weren't going to put Cody. Maybe they did. I don't know. But tonight was rinse and repeat. That's really the best way I could describe this episode of Raw. We'll definitely recap it quickly. I think after a consecutive load of shows, I think we could kind of pull back on this one tonight. There's really no reason to talk 2 hours about this show. This show, again, a lot of rinse and repeat. We knew Brock Lesnar was not appearing today. We talked about his schedule last week, so you knew that Cody was just going to lay the challenge down. Logan Paul, Ricochet, nice little fun segment. That match will be happening at SummerSlam. Doesn't make me like Logan Paul anything more. And, you know, I got to share something with you. I usually don't like making fun of journalists. But there's an old saying, if you play, you must pay. You know, if you are old enough to want to play the game, then you should be old enough to take a little bit of criticism. I don't know about any of you. How many of you out there are married? How many, well, even if you're not married, think of your parents if you get along with them. How many times if you married your wife or you married your husband, would you consider them your best friend? Right? I mean, that goes without saying. I mean, my wife, you know, I married my best friend. Yeah. I mean, probably 90% of this world who has married someone marries their best friend. My friends, for those on video, if we were playing Jeopardy right now, I know Alex Trebek has passed on, but Alex, I will take virgins who write wrestling for 500. Who is this Matarazzo that actually writes as a title, 28-year-old WWE star announces engagement to best friend? I honestly thought it was a spoof that maybe somebody got engaged to their dog because dogs are also man's best friend. Because Logan Paul, in a tweet, says, I'm marrying my best friend. This fucking goof, what's his name, Vivek Sharma? Vivek Sharma, can't click on his link, everyone. You know, a lot of these shit skeeters that write, they usually have a link to their bios on Twitter so you could see who's the goof behind the writing. This guy, there is no link. So you can't even, like, find his profile and see, you know, who this person. This guy actually wrote an article that WWE star gets engaged to best friend. you know for a fact this motherfucker hasn't even met Mr. Hand as of yet. That I saw that, and I'm like, you know, I mean, is the wrestling news world, do they grant wishes now? Do they hang out with John Cena and grant wishes? Because, I don't know, man. It's just ridiculous. Absolutely. I had to share that because I was like, he doesn't understand that most people do marry their best friend. All right, whatever. But then again, on Temptation Island, you know, right now their best friends are getting their from, you know. And yes, I'm hitting the censor button to be an asshole. Fuck the censor button, right? Hey, I want to show you two very cool things. Feel good things people don't normally talk about. The funny thing is, all you need is one wrestling news site to write what I'm about to show you, and you'll see 50,000 wrestling news sites covering it. I want to show you something that I know if you tune into my shows on a regular basis, this is going to put a smile on your face. It's going to put a little bit of warmth in your heart. Here in New York, we have a wrestling collectible store called Wrestling Universe. Very, very popular. Been around for 20-plus years. Jack Sabbath, good guy. Know him well. Been to his place in the past. He has a lot of wrestlers showing up at his store doing autograph signings. He's got Bischoff coming up soon. He's got Matt and Jeff Hardy together coming up soon. He has others coming up soon. He posted this. And when I saw it lingering for 36 hours, not one fucking person online reacted to it. And this warmed my freaking heart. On the screen right now, I'm showing you that on July 23rd, here in New York at the Wrestling Universe store, he is going to have none other than Barry Windham signing photos, taking pictures. You could get both. And I'm saying to myself, did everybody fucking forget what happened to Barry Windham? I can't believe it. You go online and see. I looked at that and I was like, holy shit. That is fucking cool. That is cool that Barry Windham's going to be here in the Northeast. I'm actually thinking about going. I'm not kidding either. I'm actually thinking about going. But I was just blown away that almost no one out there, you know, talks about it unless someone else reports it. Unbelievable. Listen, first name John. I don't dislike everybody at Sports Gita. There are some decent writers, but 9 times out of 10, the moronic stories being posted always seem to come from Sports Gita, hence the term Shit Skeeta. There is so much shit on that website. There's literally flies flying around their office, their virtual office, whatever it is. But anyway, the bottom line is, Barry Windham, that is cool, man. That is absolutely cool to see that. That made me feel good. Very cool. Something else I wanted to share with you. Nikki Cross. There's been more than one reason why she has not appeared all that much on television. For those that are interested, this weekend, she graduated. Wait. Let's make this a little bit cleaner here. She graduated from, I'll fix it, from the University of Edinburgh. And she is majoring in science. Come on, when she doesn't look like some like zooted out whack job, look on the right. You know, we're doing a little poll from yesterday's show. Who is some of the most attractive women in NXT, WWE, and AEW? And Nikki Cross actually got 2 or 3 votes already. So congrats to Nikki Cross. You know, you graduate from college. Obviously, she is preparing herself that if wrestling does not become her, you know, main livelihood, that she has something huge to fall back on. So to Nikki Cross, congratulations. I know we ragged on her superhero. You know, we called it superhero in training because, you know, that's abbreviation for shit. And I know, you know, we used to have somebody team up with the Hurricane. I had the same thing, Rosie. Rosie shit. that we used to call him. But, you know, Nikki Cross, the person, you hear nothing but good things about. So just wanted to give her a little bit of congratulations. All right, now you got to get off my screen. Another cool article, if you want to go seek it out, Omas. Omas did an interview with the Daily Mail. And I have a whole recap in front of me. Not even going to read it. If you want to go check it out, read it for yourself. But you know what he says in this article? He talks about how, first of all, he loves wrestling and he knows he's a heel, but he's having such a good time that he always checks in with Undertaker. That when WWE told him that he was going to face Brock Lesnar, he thought it was a joke. He was ready to go to Canada and then fly home. And they told him, no, you got get ready because you're going to have a, you know, you're going to call out Brock Lesnar. And he praised the shit out of Brock Lesnar. That, and this is something that I know a lot of you have noticed for years, but it seems like most wrestling fans just want to bitch about how he's used and part-timer and how he's always main event. It blew me away when he came back for the SummerSlam match against Roman Reigns last year. I mean, yeah, we thought WrestleMania was the pinnacle of their feud and they move on. So when he came back, you're like, ah, do I really want to see them two again? That's when the ring got upside down or tilted sideways. And I'm watching people online saying, the fuck? Why is Brock Lesnar got to come back? I'm like, okay, you have your Wheeler Yuta have a five-star fucking match. You know, enjoy your Wheeler Yuta. None against Wheeler Yuta, even though he's not one of my favorites. But go enjoy your four-and-a-half-star matches. Go whack off. You know, and it doesn't even have to be AEW. He wrestles on the indies as well. Go to Temptation Island Championship Wrestling and fucking go. And then some. Now, Omas said that Brock Lesnar wanted to make sure that he was having fun, that looked out for him, helped him out, was totally professional, and praises how he sells and how he puts so much effort into what he does. Then he praised MVP, going up and down the road with MVP, praised Bobby Lashley. It's a really good article if you want to go check it out. I mean, it's cool that they did not address the haters online that shit on every time he's got a high-profile match. Because honestly, I think he did a great job against Braun, did a great job against Brock, did a great job against Rollins. You know, three matches, it's only three matches. But when you have three against those guys and you pass the test, I think he's doing good. I think he'll be back on TV very, very soon, everyone, by the way. I will be honest with you. You know, how do I say this? How do we try to make a positive out of this? I thought about this. We're going to make two positives right now out of two things that we're not happy with. A lot of you are still not happy with LA Knight not having the Money in the Bank briefcase. I hope what I tell you now is going to make you feel a lot better. Yeah, he's going to win the United States Championship. That's happening. You got to wait a little bit. It's not going to happen when you want it to happen, but it'll happen very, very soon. But I will say something about LA Knight right now that I think even, you know, the people who like the clickbait or even like to be sorry, I think you'll agree with me when I say this. And also I'm going to tell you about Bronson Reed getting involved with The Miz and Ciampa. Talk about a wet, smelly fart. And no, I'm not calling Bronson Reed a wet, smelly fart. The fact that they're, after all this goddamn time, doing it again, where Reed helps Miz win. Okay. Which one do you want me to make you feel better on first? Ciampa or LA Knight? Chat room, you got to be rapido with this. Which one do you want me to make you feel better first? Okay, we got a couple of votes for Ciampa. All right, let's Ciampa. Okay. For those that didn't see Raw tonight, Tommaso Ciampa fought The Miz in a no DQ match. The Miz took a beating. If you remember Raquel and Trish, and everybody was like, wow, Raquel beat the shit out of it, Miz took it 10 times worse tonight. I mean, getting hit with chairs, getting hit thrown over the announcer's table. One move that pissed me off, and I'll show you why in a minute. Only one of two video clips that I capped for tonight. Miz took a goddamn beating. Crowd loved it. Crowd wanted a table spot. They got a table spot. And it's Ciampa hitting Death Valley Driver off the middle rope through the table in the ring. Ciampa's about to get the victory. Ciampa goes to pin the Miz, and he gets pulled out of the ring by Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed lays out Ciampa outside the ring, throws him back in the ring, hits a tsunami, Miz pins him, Miz wins. Honestly, I think, you know how Cody tonight said that everybody has a Brock Lesnar? Tonight, I think everybody had a Miz girl. Even I fucking praised the Miz for years and years when it was not a popular thing, just like Michael Cole. And nothing against the Miz winning today. I had something against Bronson Reed. They did this shit with Dexter Lumis, and it felt like, what a lazy way to give Miz a win. Let's just do the same shit that we did before that did not get over. It did not work. Here's where I'm going to make you feel a little better. I DM'd someone tonight that I trust that works within WWE, and I said to him, I said, why are they doing this again? And the person gave me a three-letter answer. D-I-Y. The idea is Bronson Reed reuniting with The Miz will force Tommaso Ciampa to get a partner of for himself, and that is going to lead to DIY returning. That's why they have Bronson Reed do this tonight. So as much as we don't like that they just revisited the same shit that didn't work before. And remember, last week they revisited the same shit with Nikki Cross and Candice LeRae. I mean, you remember when Candice would be in the back and Nikki would be saying, I mean, what? I know what some people are saying. Well, a couple of months ago, Vince was riding and then Vince hit away and now Vince is back. So Vince is like, let me pick up where I left off. You know, that could be to a certain extent. But yeah, this is going to lead to Ciampa reuniting with Gargano in DIY. So I like Benjamin's comment. Benjamin's saying, I'm surprised you didn't guess that on your own, DT. I could have guessed. I thought you would prefer me to ask someone who I mingle with every so often, talking about wrestling, talking about shit going on, to give you a little bit of a reason to make you feel better. Because if I would have said to you just now, Benjamin, if I would have said to you right now, Benny, that Ben, didn't Michael Jackson have an awful song in the early 70s called Ben? I wanted to kick any dog that was named Ben when I was a kid. Ben did it. Anyway, if I would have said to you just now that, you know what, I think maybe they brought back Bronson Reed so they could reform DIY. And a lot of you would be like, oh, DT, that's a great idea, but you know fucking WWE. WWE's not going to reunite them. Because I'm just giving you a straight-up opinion. That doesn't mean it's going to be right. I thought you would appreciate that somebody a little bit closer to the situation said, oh, yeah, no, Ciampa's going to reunite with Gargano, and there's a little bit of a tie there, and Dexter Lumis, you know, they could do something as well, and there is a tie there with Bronson Reed, and that's where they're going with this. You're welcome. Now, LA Knight. Now, obviously, this doesn't have to do with Raw tonight, but something I want to share with you. Tomorrow, and this is not a reason for the plug, but there's a reason why I'm bringing it up. Tomorrow, Kevin and I are doing an edition of the Don Tony Kevin Castle Show. It's going to stream live on Patreon, and it'll be online for everybody afterwards between 12 midnight and 1 a.m. tomorrow. One of the things that we're going to talk about is we're going to look back at the last year for some of the wrestlers, not all, but some of the wrestlers in WWE, NXT, and AEW. And we're going to discuss who we think stock has gone up, who's gone down, whose stock is skyrocketed, and whose stock has plummeted. You know, like the Lacey Evans of the world, let's be honest. But, you know, I was talking to somebody online because I had an interesting discussion about Karrion Kross. You know, especially after what happened Friday. And yes, all the segments got cut short because of the extra time for the Bloodline. And by the way, the ratings are in. I have a crazy detailed ratings report for you tonight. And you're going to realize that the stuff that we thought kind of stunk on SmackDown Friday because of the amount of time the Bloodline segment took, yeah, it affected the ratings as well. When I say 600,000 to 700,000 viewers less in a matter of 40 minutes, yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later. But I was talking to somebody a little bit about Kross. We were talking a little bit about a few other things. And LA Knight came up. And I said, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr. You know, the guy was going to have his own promotion. And, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr. is like the Andrew Yang of wrestling. I like Freddie Prinze Jr., but to me, I think he talks as much bullshit as Andrew Yang. He's going to have his own promotion, and he's going to do this. He's going to have Union do this and that. He gives his thoughts on this stuff. He just did an interview or said something online that he is totally baffled that LA Knight didn't win Money in the Bank. Now, for everybody who loves LA Knight right now, they're like, yeah, you're right, yeah. And it makes Freddie Prinze get that warm feeling inside. I asked someone, so, you know, what is there anything more underlining? You know, does Vince really have it out for LA Knight? Do they just feel that, you know, that his ceiling is only a certain? And I got an answer that is so common sense that I took a step back and I was like, wow, I can't believe, like, we didn't all, like, think of this. You know what this person said to me about LA Knight right now? Think of Raw. And tonight's Raw kind of put the exclamation point on it. If you watch Raw tonight, and if you checked out my shows last week, you know, if you remember the title of last Monday's show, you know, Big Problema for Senor Money in the Bank. The briefcase is going to be heavily involved in storylines on Raw. Tonight, Finn Balor comes out, you know, is upset at Damian Priest. Damian Priest still got the briefcase. Damian Priest is going to tease tomorrow in NXT that he could also cash in against Carmelo Hayes. Look out for that. That will happen. But besides that, the briefcase is heavily involved on Raw. Not only the threat that Damian Priest could cash in on Seth Rollins at any time, especially since they are feuding with Seth Rollins, Dominic and Finn and Damian Priest, but here's another dynamic. LA Knight. LA Knight is a SmackDown wrestler. LA Knight, if he would have been drafted to Raw, which I wish he would have, because I think it would have worked better, especially Monday night Raw. I know Friday night SmackDown, but I could see, you know, the shirt. See, when you look at the SmackDown shirts, it usually doesn't say, I don't think it says Friday night SmackDown, but Raw, it'll say Monday night Raw. It would have been spelled K-N-I-J. There's a lot more reasons behind it. But this person said to me, he said that, look at how Damian Priest is being used and how often that briefcase is being showed and brought up. Now imagine if that was LA Knight on SmackDown right now. LA Knight is not going to be anywhere near Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns right now is busy with the Usos, Jey Uso specifically. Then after that, you have to tease a little bit more with the Usos and the Bloodline and that possibility that Solo Sikoa could end up breaking away from Roman. Remember 2 weeks ago when Roman left at the idea that Solo would be a tribal chief. So if LA Knight would have had that fucking briefcase right now, he ain't interacting with Roman Reigns. That briefcase would be non-existent on SmackDown. And yeah, I listen, the first thought I had to that, and I know some of you are saying it right now through your TV screen. I feel it. You're saying, well, LA Knight could show up on Raw and tease Seth Rollins. He has the briefcase. Why wouldn't he show up on Raw? He could challenge anybody he wants at any time. Yeah, but they want LA Knight to remain on SmackDown. They don't want him to cross over and get involved with the Judgment Day business and the fact that they're trying to cause a rift between Finn Balor and Damian Priest. And Damian Priest, when he lifted the briefcase to Finn Balor tonight and said, either way, we got this, or it's taken care of. LA Knight would have had that briefcase, and he would have had to put it in his locker room. And I took a step back and I thought about it, and I'm like, wow, that is so fucking genius because, yeah, he, as much as we would love for LA Knight to cut a promo on Roman Reigns, it ain't happening right now. It's not his time. It is not his fucking time. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of consolation that maybe you feel the wrong person won, but to the Freddie Princes of the world, now you got the common sense answer as to why. You put the briefcase on LA Knight, and then what, genius? And then what? What do you do with it then? You ain't going to have him fuck with Seth Rollins. What are you going to do? So nobody thinks about it. I didn't think about it that deep, but so there you go. Okie dokie. Mark this down on your calendar. You ain't going to like this. I thought I had the graphic. If I do, I'll load it so I can piss you all off. Maybe I don't. Okay, I don't, so I can't piss you off with it. I'm going to just have to tell you instead. Mark it down on your calendar. July 21st, next Friday. Yeah, a week from this Friday. SmackDown will not be on Fox. Instead, it'll be on FS1. Because Fox has decided to air the FIFA Women's World Cup instead. And the thing that baffles me is that it's the USA versus Vietnam. And the game, I don't believe, starts till 9 p.m. So why not just have like an hour and a half tape delay? Especially when SmackDown is rolling almost 3 million viewers at some points this past Friday. 2.6, 2.7. I mean, hey, maybe women's soccer does get that. But next Friday, make a note of it that SmackDown will not be on Fox. It'll be on FS1. Also, NXT tomorrow is stacked. And I don't mean stacks. It is stacked. It's kind of amazing because a month and a half ago, maybe a month ago, we were talking about, wow, NXT just feels like stuck in the mud. And just like this, they decided to go overload. It's almost like you go to like your daily restaurant and they bring the food out and the food seems a lot smaller. And you're like, you know, it's not what it used to be. And then all of a sudden you walk in there and there's like double of everything. You're like, holy shit, what the fuck happened? Go check out this preview for tomorrow. Not every match, obviously, goes off the hook, but this is a big deal. You got Stax taking on Joe Coffey for the fate of the family, and I think Tony D'Angelo does make his return tomorrow, and in some kind of shangada way that this was all a rouge, and you will have Gallus being challenged for the tag titles by Stax and Tony D'Angelo. We're also going to have tomorrow, which I'm a little concerned about because Cora Jade should not be going on a losing streak. She'll be taking on Kalani Jordan, and keep your prayers, everyone, that Dana Brooke turns heel soon. But that match will be going on tomorrow. Tomorrow also, we have Chase University. Andre Chase is back. He will be teaming up with Duke Hudson to take on Drew Gulak and William Regal's son, Charlie Dempsey. Tomorrow also, we have the NXT debuts of Bronco Nima and Lucien Aguayo. I'm telling you guys, these guys, pay attention. That's all I'm going to say, pay attention. They got something. I don't know what it is. They got something. They're pretty freaking impressive. So I've watched enough video of them. Let's see who they face tomorrow. They're going to make their debut. Tiffany Stratton will be taking on Ivy Nile in a non-title match. And then you got the big boys. Bron Breakker will be taking on Ilya Dragunov, now in a number one contenders match. So Finn Balor versus Carmelo Hayes at Great American Bash may not be happening after all, but we could end up seeing something with the Judgment Day versus Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. Not necessarily Great American Bash. You know, we're still a little ways away. That could happen in a week, 2 weeks. We don't know. But tomorrow, Bron and Ilya, and I'm rooting for Ilya, man. I want Ilya as your next NXT champion. But as we talked about the last 2 weeks, and it was made official over the weekend, the Judgment Day will be showing up in NXT. Let's see if Lyra Valkyrie has a little bit more interaction with Rhea Ripley, and let's see where they go with Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, and Dirty Dom. So that is tomorrow. That is stacked, man. Honestly, that should get nice mid-sixes in the rating. Speaking of Dirty Dom, if you are interested, he has a new shirt on sale, and they are keeping the Dirty moniker with him. So Dirty Dom. And as we saw on Raw tonight, the Judgment Day have a new shirt. So Finn and Damian Priest are not going to be splitting up as quickly as some expect. This shirt will sell. It's actually a pretty cool shirt when you look at it. And I like the colors. Purple is my favorite color. So I kind of like this one. It's pretty good. So, all right. Let's talk about Raw. And then we'll do a little bit of ratings. Got a This Week in History preview for you. And this week is a big deal. We flash back again to Muhammad Hassan. And it was official this week in history that Muhammad Hassan, because of all the backlash by the media and the TV networks, Muhammad Hassan was removed from WWE programming. And it got so bad that Muhammad Hassan cut a promo. I think the promo might have been in New York. But he cut a promo at SmackDown. And it was not controversial. Like, there was nothing said on it that, you know, like advertisers or families or news would have been triggered. But WWE was so forced into removing him from TV, they did not air the promo on TV. I have it, and I share it with you. And it's pretty sad when you listen back at it, and he's got this nuclear heat. And yeah, unfortunately, for the most distasteful reasons, with WWE Creative simulating a beheading of The Undertaker, right, you know, shortly after 9/11, you don't want to do that. And you got to think of the journalist that got beheaded. I can't remember his name right now, but I know some of you know who I'm talking about. You check out Muhammad Hassan's promo. We'll get into all of that in a little bit. But, that's also Vince McMahon invaded TBS, which always warms my heart back then. That was Bizarro Land. But let's talk about Raw. Let's bring up Raw. Let me find my pictures. Let me find my preview. Here we go. Actually, you know what? Before we get into Raw, I see we got a couple of super shout-outs that came in, so I definitely would like to acknowledge them. Theme Parks with Johnny, thank you very much for the 10 spot. Two things, EO looks great with a briefcase, and LA Knight's theme has the chill feeling when you hear it. He gets chills, even as if he was sitting in a seat, and he jumps up cheering every time. The only thing that I find interesting about LA Knight, not the only thing I find interesting, one of the things I find interesting, if you ever look at his Titantron, doesn't he have like a mask? It almost looks like I know it's a Knight's mask before somebody says, DT, that's a Knight's mask. But, you know, like LA Knight is not like a gladiator from the 700 BC. So I think you remove the logo. Why? Because it says Knight? Just leave it with the microphone. Just have him calling somebody out with them on the mic. Take away that graphic, in my honest opinion. So, I agree with you. LA Knight is fucking crazy over. LA Knight, listen, you know what's going to be wild? When he interrupts Austin Theory in the very near future, not only are people going to pop crazy for it, but that realization is going to hit them that it may not happen that night, but it's going to happen very, very soon that LA Knight is going to be the one to dethrone Austin Theory. And I just hope WWE decides to do an open challenge. I want to see on SmackDown advertise Austin Theory issues an open challenge for the United States Championship. Have LA Knight's music hit. Even if you want to have the Brawling Brutes, you know, to come out and fucking stop Pretty Deadly from trying to get involved. But I want to see open challenge. I want to hear LA Knight's music come out. And I want to hear everybody just lose their mind. And if they did the title change on top of it, can't do any better than that. Thank you for the 10th spot, my friend. I also would like to thank, who's that? Tony Baloney McCall. It's like an Italian Irishman. I don't know if anyone else picked up on this. In the opening tag match, Ludwig Kaiser was the legal man, not Giovanni Vinci. I did not notice that, but yeah, we kind of all saw that coming. Giovanni Vinci, with all due respect, I wouldn't even call him the Shawn Michaels. I mean, the Marty Jannetty of the team. I think Giovanni Vinci is more of like the Manu of the team. Do you remember, what was it, Legacy? Remember Manu? The fuck ever happened to Manu? I think he's still wrestling for a Samoan promotion somewhere. And I mean that seriously. I think it might have been Alpha's group or something, if they're still in existence, which I think they are. Like, Vinci, it's good. But when you look at Imperium, and you look at Gunther, and the Flags, and Kaiser, it just feels German. Even if they're not intending, and I know people are going to say, he's Austrian, DT. For the casual wrestling fan, they look at that, they think German. Why do you think when people said Gunther Stark, people were like, oh, they're doing Nazi stuff? You know, they weren't intending that. But still, you know, you got to be very careful. So especially with that Gunther Stark reference, they think since day one, WWE's been trying to go the German route. So you got two Germans and an Italian. It sounds like a bad joke. You got Kaiser, who people believe, like on TV, they think he's German. Gunther, even though he's Austrian, they think German. And then you got Vinci, who is an Italian. It sounds like a bad joke. Two Germans and I got no respect, I tell you. Hey, the other day I saw two Germans and an Italian walking to a bar. You know what I'm saying? You know, it sounds like a bad joke. I got no respect. I met this girl the other day. She told me to come over tonight. Nobody would be home. I went over there. Nobody was home. Now I sound like a Jew, not Rodney. And I say that with love. So, when I think too hard about my impersonations, they kind of go off the rails. All right. Now we can recap Raw. I got no respect, I'll tell you. Let's pull it up. There we go. Raw tonight. Buffalo, New York. Finn Balor comes out. Finn Balor is not happy. He feels that things are not settled between him and Seth Rollins. And it's all because of Damian Priest. Immediately, the Judgment Day's music hits. Finn Balor thinks that Damian Priest is going to be coming out. Oh, by the way, can I say something else? Very quickly. If Vinci is going to be out of Imperium, I got a bad feeling about something. You and I have been saying for a while that we think Ilya Dragunov and Ludwig Kaiser would be an insanely good tag team. And I think they would just, especially Ilya comes off, you know. I have this weird feeling that WWE may be considering putting JD McDonagh in Imperium. Everybody thinks JD McDonagh is destined for Judgment Day. I am wondering, because Ludwig Kaiser on his own is not going to work all that well. I don't see Ludwig Kaiser breaking away and becoming a single star. I don't see that. So if Vinci ends up being tossed out of Imperium, and they had somebody in his place, I got that weird feeling that it might be JD McDonagh. Something to think about. See, Benjamin, that's not news. That's a guess. Finn Balor is not happy. He feels that things are unfinished with Seth because of Damian Priest. Without any further comments, Judgment Day's music hits. He thinks Damian Priest is coming out there, but instead we have Rhea Ripley and Dominic. And Rhea Ripley's like, what's up with you, man? What are you doing, man? We could settle our problems in the back. Finn says, my problems are not with you and Dom. My problems are with Damian Priest. So, what does Rhea Ripley do? She gets in the ring, and because all men must back down to Rhea Ripley is talking to Finn Balor. Come on, you're going to go in the back. We got to settle this in the back. Get out of the ring. Go in the back. We'll settle this the right way. And Finn Balor listens. Finn Balor walks out of the ring to a lot of boos. Rhea Ripley gets on the mic, and Rhea Ripley says, what you all just saw is how the Judgment Day does business, and the Judgment Day still rules Monday Night Raw. And tonight, my Dom is going to finish off Seth freaking Rollins. Dominic Mysterio gets the microphone, and unfortunately, the crowd will not let him talk. And then Seth Rollins' music hits. And Dom is pissed off, and he's screaming, no, 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 cut his music. I will not be disrespected tonight. And Seth Rollins comes out, and because we're in Buffalo, yeah, let's come out with buffalo wings. Let's come out with buffalo wings. He's first serious. He's like, Dominic, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. And then all of a sudden, I came here to party. I came here to eat buffalo wings. And I came here to see the Judgment Day implode right before our very eyes. Dominic says the only thing that's going to implode is your title. And Seth laughs even more and says the only person that's going to be beating your ass tonight is me. So we go to commercial, we come back, and we're in the back. Rhea Ripley is with Damian Priest. Hey, Damian, you and Finn, you grow up, act like men. Damian Priest is like, hey, chica, this man already spoke to Finn Balor. But just for you, Rhea, I will talk to him again. So now we get another match. Drew McIntyre and Matt Riddle, they take on Giovanni Vinci and Ludwig Kaiser. Fun match. Riddle and Drew McIntyre have been a team before. You know, we know where they're leading to Drew McIntyre versus Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. We don't want Drew McIntyre to win just yet. Wait a couple of months. Let Gunther have the all-time record. And I know it's trivial, but since we love Gunther so much, we want for contemporary wrestling fans to say that that guy holds the longest reign ever for the Intercontinental Championship. So Matt Riddle, Drew McIntyre, they're having a match with Ludwig Kaiser, Giovanni Vinci with Gunther at ringside. Towards the latter part of the match, Drew McIntyre has got a stare down with Gunther. The referee gets distracted, so Gunther pulls Drew out of the ring because Drew was going to hit a claymore. So when Gunther pulled Drew McIntyre out of the ring, here comes Riddle running from the other side of the corner over the barricade and hits Gunther with a high knee. That's it for Gunther for a brief moment. Drew McIntyre is still in the ring with Giovanni Vinci and hits him with a claymore. Ludwig Kaiser tries to get involved in the match, and you said he was the legal man earlier. I'll give you props. If that is true, I will definitely look back on it. But what ended up happening was Ludwig Kaiser tried to get involved in the match. Matt Riddle puts the ankle lock on Ludwig Kaiser. And instead of the referee calling the tap out, The referee counted to three. So technically, Drew McIntyre defeated Giovanni Vinci. So once the match is over, Gunther, he is not happy. He reads the freaking Riot Act, Giovanni Vinci. Not only does he read the Riot Act, but Ludwig Kaiser decides, yeah, I'm walking out on your ass as well. I wonder if that very moment Giovanni Vinci is thinking, hey, you think they would put me over against Lee Moriarty on Rampage? Because where do you go from here? Are we going to get a babyface Vinci? I have nothing against Giovanni Vinci. But I think that's, to quote Undertaker's old song, and I don't have footsteps for sound effects, but as far as contract goes, dead man walking. So they walk off. Next week, we have Gunther taking on Matt Riddle one-on-one. We'll get into that a little bit later because there's a little bit of an additional stipulation there that I think I have an idea of what's going to go down. We go back from commercial and we see all the members of Judgment Day in the back, and Rhea Ripley kind of repeats the exact same thing that she said earlier. She tells them to stop talking over each other and act like men. Damian Priest says that he wanted Finn Balor to win at Money in the Bank, that he would have never cashed in on Finn Balor. And this is not his fault. And he said, listen, we could go back to the way things were, or we could go, and Finn Balor interrupts him. Because Damian Priest is like, look, you know, we could go back to the way things were. Judgment Day ruling everyone, finishing everyone, handling everything, running this place. Or, before he could say what that or was, Finn Balor interrupts him. And Finn Balor says, point blank, or we can have a fresh start, but only on one condition. I still have issues with Seth Rollins, and I want the first crack. Damian Priest says, hey, I'm cool with it, but don't worry about it. He's confident Finn Balor could beat Seth Rollins, but either way, and he lifts the briefcase up and points to it, we have it covered. So Finn Balor, right when Damian Priest walks off, if this was Temptation Island edition of WWE, when Damian Priest walked off, Finn Balor would have been like, oh, you fucking cocksucker, you. That's probably what he would have said. Oh, you stupid son of a bitch. You fucking Latino heat. All right, let's continue. We got a recap of what went down Friday with the Tribal Chief, and I will get into that rating in a little bit. Incredible, the shift in the rating. We'll get into that shortly. We get another In This Year video package. Listen, these packages are definitely good, but I also think about the Viking Raiders around fire, sacrificing animals. Not really, but what were they doing? They were eating Swanson dinners out there, you know, but In This Year, like, I'm impressed. Who are they going to go after? I have a feeling Alpha Academy might be one of their first. I have this feeling that Alpha Academy might be one of their earliest victims. So we get that little video package, and now we get, you know, what we believe is going to be Seth Rollins versus Dominic. For the match, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are in the back. Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio show up, and Rhea says, we can take your titles, too, anytime we want. And Dominic's like, yeah, maybe we will. And Rhea makes a remark that led to me thinking stupid comedy, especially, again, when you think of Temptation Island, and right when Raw goes off the air, you got a woman literally saying that she would have sucked this person's penis if the cameras weren't around and they censored the D word. Rhea Ripley says that Dominic Mysterio is going to tear Seth Rollins and beat him over and over and over again. And ever since Dom was working on cardio in prison, he never gets tired. And they walk off. Nothing big with that, right? No big deal. Basically, Rhea Ripley said that Dom, he's going to beat Seth Rollins tonight, and he's not going to get tired. Ever since prison, he's been doing cardio, and he never gets tired. For some reason, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn don't understand like what Rhea meant by that. Kevin Owens looks confused during this whole segment, and when they walk off, Sami says, I don't understand what Rhea meant. And this almost feels like Vince McMahon fed, like, Sami, what are you, stupid? With all due respect, Rhea Ripley said that Dominic don't get tired. He's been doing cardio ever since he's been in prison. What did you not understand? But the reason why they did that is when Sami Zayn said he didn't understand what Rhea meant, Kevin Owens says, oh, well, maybe Dominic was running around the prison yard. And Sami Zayn's got a weird look on his face. Kevin Owens like, what did you think it was? Come on, you could tell me. What did you think it was? Sami Zayn whispers something in Kevin Owens' ear. And you know what he was supposed to say, you know, that him, you know, Rhea Ripley, something that Buddy Matthews would not be happy about. Yeah. It's like goofy teenage stuff. All right. So now we're supposed to get Dominic Mysterio versus Seth Rollins, non-title match. And we're wondering, why is this happening in, like, early hour two? Like, why is this not closing out Raw tonight? Well, the match does not happen. Almost immediately, the Judgment Day come out. They start beating down Seth Rollins. And then Kevin Owens' music hits. He and Sami Zayn come out there. They make the save. The Judgment Day retreats, and can you guess what we're going to get later on in the night? What we expected, what we complained about early on, the fucking six-man tag. There's no match. We get a six-man tag later on in the night. So now we get Logan Paul and Ricochet. Got to be honest with you, I actually thought Ricochet did a great job. I don't know why people were ripping on Ricochet online. Ricochet said that he's a man of the people, and he's pretty certain that none of the people wanted Logan Paul anywhere near the Money in the Bank briefcase. He wants to keep it short. He is calling out Ricochet. And he says, yeah, I want to give credit where credit is due. He's done a lot in a very short time in the WWE. And it seems like those two guys keep crossing paths. And, you know, Logan Paul was upset at Money in the Bank because he didn't get his way. And Ricochet is pissed off because Logan Paul had the audacity to call him unprofessional on his Impulsive podcast. Ricochet talks about being in the business for 20 years. And he said what got him even angry is that Logan Paul even admitted on his Impulsive podcast that he didn't know what the hell he was doing out there. Which, as we discussed over the weekend, my friends, I am not very thrilled with Logan Paul right now at all for various reasons. Not because he's a chicken shit heel. There's a lot more than that. I hope you tuned into those shows. So Logan Paul, he comes out there and he's pretty much laughing at Ricochet. He just won't take him seriously. And Logan Paul says, listen, I want to keep this short because I want to get out of this crap hole Buffalo as quickly as possible. He repeats what he said on his podcast. He calls Ricochet unprofessional again. And Ricochet is really pissed the fuck off. And he says, you know, I wanted to do the right thing and I wanted to challenge you to a match. But after I see your face, I want to hurt you. Don't you dare run your mouth about me again. And Logan Paul says, or what? What are you going to do? He says that the reason why Ricochet wants to face him is so he could go viral. So Ricochet could go viral. Logan Paul says he doesn't need to go viral. He's a WWE superstar. He just thinks that it's not going to work out. So Ricochet does the move. The last time I believe we saw it was against Velveteen Dream. Velveteen Dream was having a promo exchange in NXT, and Ricochet literally dove, somersault, whatever you want to call it, out over the top rope, landed on his feet. If this was in the Olympics, almost like figure skating jumps, if that was an Olympic sport, the one he did in NXT, he would have gotten a 9.8 out of 10. Tonight, he probably would have gotten like a 9.1. You know, a little bit of a stutter step, because remember in NXT, they had that metal grating on the floor. So Ricochet didn't bounce a little bit off the mat. Ricochet landed on metal. If you go back and you watch that spot with him and Velveteen Dream, it's definitely worth a look if you've never seen it. But he dives outside the ring, and he gets in the face of Logan Paul, and Logan Paul's like, wow, that's cool. He thought that was cool. But that was like a TikTok moment. I'm not here to make TikTok moments. And he refuses again to face Ricochet, but he tries to cheap shot Ricochet. And Ricochet basically plants Logan Paul. Almost looked like he landed on his head first against the outside of the ring and then walks off. And Logan Paul sitting up, stare down with Ricochet. That match is happening at SummerSlam. I thought the segment was very good. And I enjoyed that Logan Paul did not go, oh, how do I say this without pissing off people? We can't use the B word. People get angry at that. But if you notice Logan Paul, the last two promos that he cut for leading into Money in the Bank, he, especially the one in Cleveland, he shit on Cleveland, couldn't wait to get out of there, got his success out of there. Everybody's booing him. And at the end, he says, oh, when I win Money in the Bank, I'm going to go back to Cleveland and party. I mean, go back and watch it. And even, you know, last time he cut a promo, you know, like he's talking heel and then he's babyface a little bit. And he's all over the place. Tonight, somebody, I hope, got through to him and said, look, no praising. You want to give Ricochet a little bit of respect? Fine. But no praising about Buffalo. No, you know, just shit and that's it. Heel. Heel, Logan. Heel. He did a good job tonight. I thought tonight was very good. Definitely bought me into it. Becky Lynch versus Zoe Stark. Yeah. If you paid attention online, you know, Becky Lynch was actually not cleared to perform until earlier tonight. That is a legit story. Becky Lynch has had some issues health-wise. And she was not cleared earlier in the week. She was cleared last minute tonight. She had a match with Zoe Stark. When Becky Lynch came out, she came out with the Goldfingers shades again. I don't know if you remember those shades. I liked them. She should keep coming out with them. I think they actually work really good for her. They're more of like when Becky was a heel, but they're still pretty cool. This match, I don't know. I couldn't get into this match. Trish Stratus outside the ring, getting involved multiple times. Becky Lynch, late in the match, goes for the disarmer. Zoe Stark hits an awesome super kick for a two. But unfortunately, Trish Stratus distracts Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch kicks her through the ropes, so Trish falls to the floor. That allows Zoe Stark to hit Becky Lynch with the fruit roll-up. And Zoe Stark gets the win on Becky Lynch. And if you look at Becky Lynch's reaction in the ring, you would have thought that she lost like a loser leaves WWE match. You know, of course, you don't ever want to lose a match, but a little bit overly distraught, in my opinion. We go to the back. We got Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn with a little bit of a pep talk. We punch faces, we smash heads, we break noses. We will prevail on top tonight, which you know means that they will lose. When all the champions are in a six-man, many times they lose, unless Cody Rhodes is one of those three. We get Chad Gable and Otis. They are in the ring to celebrate the first female graduate of the Alpha Academy. Was it just my audio tonight? Or did the crowd have almost like a mixed reaction? And I think about the snowflake era that we're in, and I'm saying to myself, people upset because they use the term female. It's, you see some of the weird things going on online. Like, I wonder if people got like they weren't like really into it, but they're hyping up Maxine Dupree. And ultimately, she won the crowd over. Alpha Academy ended up winning the crowd over. She comes out there and, you know, she looks innocent. She looks cute. You know, if she turns against Otis or Chad or both of them down the line, you know the fans are going to go off on her. But tonight she comes out there. She's going to get her diploma. She's already got her gown and she's celebrating and the crowd is chanting, "You deserve it." She thanks Chad Gable. You know, she disses him a little bit, how what she originally thought of him when she first met him. But, you know, he has definitely helped her. She thanks Otis, and she's singing a praise for this lovable little thing. She thanks the WWE Universe. You always want to do that. She thanks the WWE Universe for making her a star, and the crowd loves it. And Chad Gable says, "Oh, you have to do one more thing. It's a customary thing for Alpha Academy." And she, you know, is a little confused, like, what is he talking about? And Chad Gable says, "You got to take the hat off." Crowd pops a little. "You got to take the gown off." Oh, the crowd is really liking this. It's almost like the Vince McMahon meme when he's in the chair and he looks like he's orgasming. So they take the gown off and they whip out a leather Alpha Academy jacket for Maxine Dupree. It's the last one they have. They're giving her her own Alpha Academy jacket. And before you know it, here comes Valhalla from behind. Those fucking Viking Raiders, they don't know when to say when. Valhalla takes the jacket, walks off. She's got possession of the jacket, and they're not happy. Next week, Alpha Academy will be taking on Viking Raiders in, I think, a Viking rules match. I know the Viking Raiders have had one of those matches before. So that just allows, like, clusterfuck shit to happen so there's no DQ. But that will be going down next week with Alpha Academy. Shayna Baszler makes quick. She has a very quick match. She turns Emma into mincemeat in maybe 90 seconds at the most. I don't even think it was that long. Emma kind of provoking Shayna in the back beforehand, earlier in the day. Talking about both of their history, you know, towards Ronda Rousey. And Shayna Baszler is like, "How's about you go to the ring and I'll show you what I'm going to do to Ronda Rousey." So Shayna Baszler beats Emma in no time. Ronda Rousey's music hits. And Ronda Rousey is not fucking happy. She comes out there and they have a brawl for a brief moment. She locks an armbar on Shayna Baszler, but Shayna Baszler gets out of dodge and Ronda Rousey is pissed off. And I think the fans are a little confused still. Are we supposed to cheer Ronda or are we supposed to cheer Shayna? Last week, a lot of people cheered Shayna. I did as well. Shayna Baszler, you know, kind of acted a little bit heelish tonight, if you really want to think about it. You know, I think the fans are a little bit confused. Who are you supposed to cheer for in this? I mean, me, I think you cheer for Shayna Baszler. You know, because she tried to add a little reality of what happened and the crowd reacted to it in a very positive way. But we'll see where this goes. Obviously, SummerSlam is the destination. Will it be a loser leaves WWE match? Will it be a fight pit? Will it be a submission match, an I quit match? We will see. But Ronda Rousey, not happy. Cody Rhodes tonight, going dusty. Probably more dusty tonight than recent memory. And for younger fans out there, you wouldn't have even realized it. And I'm not knocking you for not knowing, but Cody took a page out of Dusty's book tonight that it is a perfect example of why Dusty got so belovedly over when he was wrestling. Cody comes out there. And he says to everybody watching on TV, for the millions at home, excuse me for a minute so I could turn my back so I could see everybody here in Buffalo tonight. Yeah, that's a little dusty, but that's not the moment I'm talking about. turns around, gets these loud Cody chants. Then he goes full-blown Dusty, and he says, I see you, and hopefully you can see me. I know sometimes it there feels like there's an invisible wall. There's a divide between us. But sometimes I feel you're in the ring with me. And that could be a dangerous thing. But thank you very much. That is Dusty Rhodes. Vintage early 80s Dusty Rhodes. Talking about, I could feel you through the TV. I ain't doing Dusty Rhodes impersonations tonight, sorry. I could feel you through the TV. That's what he was doing tonight to that crowd. I feel you in the ring with me. I know sometimes it feels like I don't see you, and maybe you can't, but I feel you. And then he goes one step further. That, you know, somebody asked him recently, he was in the UK, about his momentum. And he looks around, and Raw is sold out. WWE sold out everywhere. And everybody is cheering. It's getting louder and louder and louder. He's given all of the credit to the WWE Universe. So you would think that he's doing okay. But his momentum in the ring is very, very shaky. Because you have to go through an obstacle. You can't go around an obstacle. You have to go right through it. And that obstacle is Brock Lesnar. Then he says, we all have a Brock Lesnar. And he talks about all, you know, not everything, but like half a dozen examples of things going around that are big obstacles for people. One of the things he brings up that I know triggers a lot of people, student debt. You know, you see what's going on with politics, and I keep politics off these shows unless we're forced to bring it up. But with the student debt thing, if you look at it, you know, you have a lot of Democrats that ran that they were going to cancel out student debt. And unfortunately, the Supreme Court ruled against it because you can't cherry pick who gets things forgiven. I mean, it's kind of common sense when you think about it. Believe me, my wife has $50,000 in student debt. Trust me, she would love to have some of that, even a little of it, waived. But the point is, now because the Supreme Court shot it down, now that you got politicians saying, oh, you got to pick us for 2024 so we could change the Supreme Court and we could change the outcome. That's how politics go. You run on something where you know that you probably have a rat's ass chance of getting done. And then when it doesn't get done, you blame the other people. You say, you got to put even more of us in there so we could eliminate them. That's how it goes. But meanwhile, 8 years go by and they got all this money and power. So Cody Rhodes tonight, he's like, student debt is a Brock Lesnar. The marathon runner in the Boston Marathon, she was right at the finish line. And then I don't know what he was talking about. I got to look at that story up later that she walked the other way. It sounded like a bad Roadrunner cartoon. Like Wildy Coyote wrote like Birdsey going the other way. And she ran into a Brock Lesnar. You know, me the other day, I walked outside without shoes on to go get my UPS thing and I fucking fell down 3 steps. I wish I could show you right now, but I'm just wearing boxers. I got a whole bunch of cuts on my lower knee. Those fucking steps, that's a Brock Lesnar. When I go to my office tomorrow and the same goddamn old man that shows up at my door every day because he's lonely, he's a fucking Brock Lesnar. You know? Some podcasters out there are Brock Lesnars. We all have a Brock Lesnar. So, he wants the rubber match at SummerSlam. And did you notice this tonight? Did Cody Rhodes finally give us a reason why Brock Lesnar did what he did to Cody? Did you catch it? I think this was a very weak attempt by WWE, but Cody kind of gave us the reason why Brock attacked him. Tonight, Cody Rhodes said, why do I want this match? Why do I need this match? Because Brock Lesnar is next in line. And I want to be, no. I will be next in line. So, indirectly, Cody Rhodes finally gave us an official reason why Brock Lesnar did what he did to Cody. Because Brock Lesnar was next in line. Which makes no sense, because Brock Lesnar cannot face Roman Reigns because that was the stipulation last year. But still, excellent segment. Excellent segment. Cody, I don't think, could have done any better. And that connection with that crowd, as long as he keeps that connection, he killed it. Killed it. You could see it. You could feel it. And I know a lot of old school people are going to pick up on all the Dusty stuff tonight. All right. Miz versus Ciampa. Yeah, I know somebody said I sound like Paul Heyman a little while. Yeah, I get that for 20 years. And I'm from New York, too, all my life. So Paul Heyman, you know, sometimes the way I talk, and sometimes I don't intentionally do it. So I also sometimes sound like Kermit the Frog. Kermit the Frog here. Yay! Miz and Tommaso Ciampa. We already talked about the match earlier, but I got to show you something. As an old school wrestling fan, I got angry tonight at something. And no, it wasn't Bronson Reed. I mean, I didn't like Bronson Reed. I immediately was like, what the fuck? Why are they going back to this shit? But something really pissed me off tonight in this match. Did anything about this match other than Bronson Reed piss you off tonight? Something pissed me off. The Miz took a beating. He got hit with chairs. He got tossed over the announcer's table. He got kicked in the face. He got hit with garbage can lids. He got shit knocked out of him. But there was one move that got me mad. And it led into a commercial. Now, if you look at the Miz's reaction, he sold it so good that I actually laughed at his reaction. But just my opinion, my friends. For those on video, look at your screen. For those on audio, I will tell you what segment it was. It was this. Tommaso Ciampa put a chair around the Miz's neck. Now, over the years, we have seen major angles where somebody has a chair wrapped around their neck and they're thrown into the corner metal post. And the wrestler can't breathe, taken out on a stretcher, taken into a hospital. Matches have abruptly ended. You'd have concern. In my opinion, that should never be a lead-in to a fucking commercial. And that's what they did tonight. You look at your screen. Look, he smashes him. Smashes him. And you to me, match over. That's it. Now, if you look closely, you see the Miz go down. Look at the Miz's face. I fucking laughed. The Miz sells. He sells like he's dead. He sells like he's dead. But we go to commercial. And I'm saying to myself, you do that as like a middle match spot, no excuse for that. I would not even AEW would I accept that. To me, that was awful. That was just terrible. But we go back to commercial, and the crowd is chanting all throughout the match. We wanted. Did you hear the annoying little kid during the match? Miz, you suck. Go back, watch the match. Especially the first half, there was some annoying little kid at ringside and the audio was going through my TV and I have surround sound and I'm like, this fucking kid's behind me. This kid's in front of me. I feel him everywhere. There was an annoying kid screaming, Miz, and I'm not dissing it. It's cool when little kids get that emotional about a wrestler. You know, it's especially funny back in the day when you'd see like 8-year-olds going to a fuck you, especially Roddy Piper. There's an infamous photo of Roddy Piper walking down the rampway at Madison Square Garden, and you got these little 7-year-olds all giving him the middle finger. Roddy Piper's looking down like, what am I supposed to do? But this match, fans are chanting for tables. They finally get the tables. And towards the end of the match, as I said earlier, Tommaso Ciampa is on the middle rope, Death Valley driver with The Miz. Put him right through a table. Match should be over. One, two, Ciampa gets pulled to the outside. It's Bronson Reed. Motherfucking Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed lays out Tommaso Ciampa. Yeah, oh, yeah, here is the Death Valley driver through the table. And we think the match is over. Bronson Reed pulls him to the outside and takes him out. Little diving elbow, brings him back in the ring, hits a tsunami. Miz, once again, buying the services of Bronson Reed. Miz gets the victory. Again, hopefully the consolation is what we talked about earlier with DIY. Not the outcome that we were expecting tonight. Backstage, we get another confrontation with Raquel Rodriguez and Rhea Ripley. And this is nothing against Rhea, and this is nothing against Raquel Rodriguez. But the women's division on Raw is, in my opinion, arguably the worst that it's ever been. The fact that you have to have a tag team champion who has no shot of becoming a double champion feuding with Rhea Ripley because Rhea's title will be on the line, not Raquel Rodriguez. That will be the telltale sign that Rhea Ripley will be winning this. That just shows you how weak this division is. That, you know, outside of Becky Lynch, like, there's nobody. There's absolutely nobody. So, somebody's bringing up Kelly Kelly. I don't know why, but I'm talking about 2023. So anyway, we get Liv Morgan and Raquel in the back. They're talking to Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville because they're having the tag team title match next week. Tonight we have Chelsea Green. We have Chelsea Green. I like when Samantha Irvin does that. One day I'll get it right. I probably have to use a little helium to get my voice that high. Or maybe if I catch my nuts in a zipper or if I step on a nail, I'll probably be able to get that pitch. But they're in the back. Chelsea's going to take on Katana Chance tonight. But Rhea Ripley shows up. Rhea Ripley gets in Raquel's face once again. Liv Morgan, not really impressed. Sonya Deville was just like, I want to go to Fridays. You know, let's finish this so we could go out. So anyway, they have their little backstage confrontation. Next thing you know, we get the match with Chelsea Green versus Katana Chance. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez sitting ringside to get an up-close look at it. 2 minutes later, this really was not much of a match at all. Chelsea Green gets the win on Katana Chance. Little fruit roll-up with Sonya Deville helping Chelsea Green. That sets up the tag match next week. Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville challenging Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez for those tag titles. Listen, I got to be honest with you. I don't want to see Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville lose again. They have lost to me a few too many title shots in a very short amount of time. And yeah, that would look kind of strange to put the belts on Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez almost immediately. Because then you say to yourself, like, wait a minute, did they do transitional champions? Like, people thought that, okay, Raquel Rodriguez and Ronda Rousey, now we know the situation with Ronda. Okay, now we got to get the titles off of them. All right, let's put it on Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. But maybe they want to put it back on a heel tag team. Could it possibly happen that Rhea Ripley gets involved next week and causes the victory for Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville, and that sets up a match just for Rhea Ripley's title? I don't know. I am a big fan of Liv Morgan. I like Raquel Rodriguez. But I think next week I'm cheering for Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green to get it. I actually think they should get it. They've gelled well. And remember, it was supposed to be Chelsea Green and Carmella. Carmella got pregnant. Good for her, man. Especially what she went through, Corey Graves. You know, can't be nothing but happy for them. But Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville, they fucking work. they actually work as a team. I like it. So now we get Drew McIntyre and Riddle in the back. Drew, you haven't been out too that long. He comes back. Everywhere I look, there's nothing but factions. When did this start? I guess you forgot what the Brawling Brutes did to you. So him and Riddle are going to start eradicating all of these factions. Good luck. Drew, next week, will not be on Raw. He will be on official business for WWE. Riddle says that he's got Gunther in a match next week. Drew McIntyre is concerned. Hey, Riddle, I like you very much. But, you know, Gunther, Imperium, you know, they're going to get involved. I'm not going to be here to help you. And Riddle's like, no, that's all right. I took care of that. Giovanni Vinci and Ludwig Kaiser are barred from ringside next week. I think Ludwig Kaiser still gets involved. Maybe even Vinci. Maybe Vinci's ship backfires, but Gunther is not losing the championship. Even if it's a non-title, Riddle ain't beating Gunther. Sorry. Maybe a DQ win at most, but I don't see that. I don't see Gunther losing anytime soon. So now we got the main event, and it's the six-man tag. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins versus the Judgment Day. As we said at the opening of today's show, you know, on too many of these six-man impromptu tag matches in 2023. On SmackDown, my most annoying pet peeve is whenever a babyface tag team partner never seems to see the tag and doesn't see the blind tag. And the legal person is not in the ring. And the dumb, poor bastard of a babyface hits their finisher, but they hit the finisher on the wrong person and then they end up losing. Take a shot every time that's happened in 2023. You'll need to go to AA. But we get the impromptu six-man tonight. It was a fun match. I'm not going to take that away. One of the big moves of the night that everybody was into, you had the Judgment Day outside the ring brawling with Seth Rollins and Sami Zayn. So Kevin Owens is like, all right, no problem. I'll just climb to the top rope and do a cannonball to everybody to the floor. And then Kevin Owens gets up and he starts yelling at Rhea Ripley, your boys are nothing. And we go to commercial. We come back from commercial. And we got your typical Raw main event. Ultimately, Seth Rollins, who's been trying to get a piece of Dominic Mysterio all night. Dominic is in the ring. Seth Rollins gets the tag, and Dominic Mysterio looks very, very concerned. Wait, why did that happen? Hold on. Let me fix that. Give me 1 second. Let me fix that. All right. There we go. I think that's because I didn't reset my pictures earlier. Let's see. There we go. Yeah, there's concern, Dom. Dirty, concerned Dom. He does look dirty, sweaty, concerned right now. Seth Rollins gets tagged in. Dominic Mysterio, a little bit of concern. Little short beatdown by Seth Rollins, but Damian Priest is tagged in pretty quickly. Hits a powerful clothesline, but only gets a two. Sets up for the South of Heaven, but Seth Rollins blocks it. Seth Rollins pushes Damian Priest into Finn Balor, who was standing on the ramp on the apron. Balor falls to the floor. You think to yourself, uh-oh, Damian Priest just knocked Balor to the floor. But nope, no dissension there because Rollins pushed Priest into Balor. So the match continues. The funny thing is, Finn Balor gets back in the ring, breaks up a two count by Seth Rollins, and all this is going on. You got Dominic, you got Finn, you got Damian Priest, and you got Seth Rollins. And for a little while, I think people forgot that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were in this match too. Because Seth Rollins and Finn Balor are going at it. Dominic Mysterio's tagged back in, hits a beautiful frog splash for a two because Sami Zayn broke it up. They're like, oh, Sammy, you came back. Did you have to go do pee-pee or something? Like, where were you? Sami Zayn acting like nothing happened to him. He gets the hot tag. And he's in the ring, and he is clearing house. But unfortunately, Damian Priest, Finn Balor, they get the upper hand. Damian Priest with a little South of Heaven with the referee not looking, that allows Finn Balor to climb the rope, hit the coup de grace, and pins the tag team champion, Sami Zayn, for a 1-2-3. After the match is over, Damian Priest and Finn Balor are in the ring. They are looking at each other, and they decided to give each other the hug like, oh, Chico, me and you are going to be taking on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for the tag team titles very, very soon. Wouldn't that be something if they end up taking? Listen, the telltale sign when Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn could be losing those belts, if they start separating Raw and SmackDown as far as the championships. Remember, they have two titles still. And Adam Pearson's storyline has yet to do what they did a couple of months ago. Do you remember a couple of months ago when they did a tournament? They did a tournament on SmackDown. Was it Braun Strowman and Ricochet that got the shot? I think they got the shot. And I think on Raw, wasn't it supposed to be Finn Balor and Damian Priest? Finn Balor got injured. I think Dominic Mysterio took his place. I don't remember if that's what it was. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. But my point is, at that time, they were doing the SmackDown Tag Team Championships on a SmackDown tournament result. They did it on Raw, but the titles didn't change hands. Afterwards, you had Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa take on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for both belts, which I thought was a big mistake. As I said at that time, if they would have put just the SmackDown tag titles on the line, I think more people would have thought that Roman and Solo were going to win, because Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn would still have been a champion even if they lost those other belts. Of course, they weren't going to lose the belts. The point is, doing that, you start thinking, oh, well, maybe they will drop the titles. When no titles are on the line, that, or both titles are on the line, that's when you know that, okay, I see where this is going. You know, that's why, you know, I don't think anybody thought there was any chance, you know, of them losing the championship belts because both championships were on the line. Remember, if someone dethrones Owens and Zayn of both sets of those belts, now they got to be on both brands. And I don't see any tag team anytime soon that's going to be traveling to both brands. Plus, understand, on those other brands, with the exception of the Street Profits, you know, like, who's a babyface tag team that is super over right now? You know, I mean, Kofi is still out with an injury. We want to really revisit that. The Usos obviously are tremendously over. They're back to babyface, but they shouldn't get tag titles again anytime soon. So we'll see what happens. But that was your episode of Raw tonight. Not a bad show, but rinse and repeat. That's what it felt like tonight. Rinse and repeat. So, very quickly, want to give you some ratings. Give you a little preview for this week of wrestling history. I already gave you the NXT preview. This is the preview for Dynamite this Wednesday. Wait a minute. Was that last Wednesday? Oh, yeah, that was last Wednesday. Hold on. Hold on. I have this Wednesday's. I have this Wednesday's here. I think I just forgot to put some new... Oh, yeah. How could I forget this? Oh, the match that we all want to see. Fucking hell yeah. Nick Wayne versus Swerve Strickland. Don't get me wrong. You know, Nick Wayne, 18-year-old, you know, son of Buddy Wayne. Yeah, very inspirational story. Why that's on Dynamite? Whatever. Okay. We're going to find out who the fifth member is for both teams for Blood and Guts. Ruby Soho and Sky Blue for the... one side of the Owen Hart tournament finals. We got MJF and Adam Cole taking on Brian Cage and Big Bill for the Eliminator tournament. Chris Jericho will be taking on Commander. And then we have Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy versus Sammy Guevara and Daniel Garcia as well. You know, not a bad card. You know, I just, nothing that I think I really like, want to stop what I'm doing to check out. So, ratings this past week. I got some interesting info for you, and I got to pull up this. I got to pull up something because I know this is going to be an interesting note to bring up. It has to do with last week's Raw. Raw last week did 1,828,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior's 1,977,000. What I found really interesting about last week's Raw rating was the low point of Raw last week was Matt Riddle versus Giovanni Vinci. That led to Drew McIntyre making a save post-match. That did 1,705,000. Not bad, because for recent months, Raw seemed to be right around 1,688,000, if you remember when we had that discussion. So the low point, 1,705,000, that's not bad. The high point of Raw last week was actually Rhea Ripley versus Natalya and the promos that we saw of The Miz and Tommaso Ciampa hyping up this week's match. That actually did 1,955,000 viewers, and you want a little bit more of this? Check this shit out. Rhea Ripley versus Natalya started the quarter before, about 2 or 3 minutes before, on the prior quarter. That prior quarter did 1,818,000. For some reason, 130,000 additional fans tuned in and watched Rhea Ripley versus Natalya and The Miz and Tommaso Ciampa to cut promos. And then right after those promos and they went to commercial, the rating dropped 220,000 viewers. I double-checked it. I have three different places where I get these numbers from. That is pretty wild. Why did that happen? I looked last week at the TV listings at 10:30. Like, we didn't have any, like, implosion in the ocean. Sounds like a bad pay-per-view, right? Implosion in the ocean. Coming tonight, implosion in the ocean. 220-something thousand viewers. How crazy is that? I thought, give the women their due. That match was great last week. By the way, Natty did win a dark match tonight. She beat Xia Li. Also, Indy Hartwell beat Dana Brooke tonight, main event show. That comes later this week. So that was Raw last week. NXT last week did 508,000 viewers. Remember, that was the 4th of July holiday. A lot of people, obviously, probably still enjoying their 4th. The high quarter last week was Eddie Thorpe versus Damon Kemp, Raw NXT Underground. That did 555,000 viewers. The low point was, if you've been following my Wednesday Night Dynamites for the last 2 years, this kind of hurts. The Dyad versus the Creed Brothers. It only did 461,000 viewers. We have ranted for the last 3 years on how the grizzled young veterans, when they main evented NXTs or were next to last, they would have 100,000 viewer drops. I don't know why. I know the schism storyline is not that great, but you would think after all of this time, especially with the stip of, I know it was recorded and I know people knew the outcome, but you know, to not want to see how it all went down was kind of surprising. So I figured I'd share because, you know, what's old is new again. AEW Dynamite last week did 855,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior's 809. The low point, oh, this is cute. The high point, let's do the high point first. Chris Jericho and Don Callis in the ring. Remember when Don Callis offered his services to Chris Jericho? And Samoa Joe and CM Punk, the hype leading up to their match on Collision, that quarter did 898,000 viewers. That was the high point of last week's Dynamite, outside of quarter one. We don't do Big Bang Theory lead-ins. The low quarter of last Wednesday's Dynamite was the main event, Kenny Omega versus Wheeler Yuta. Not only did it only do 804,000 viewers, but their match started in a prior quarter. Remember what I said about Rhea Ripley and Natalya, that it went like this? for Wheeler Yuta and Kenny Omega went like this, because the prior quarter, at the very end, where they were in first couple of minutes of their match, that quarter was at 8:40, and fans still were turning it off. Just figured I'd share that. New Japan Pro Wrestling last week did 53,000 viewers. That is slightly down from the week prior's 55,000. Impact Wrestling, you know, down a decent amount, did 122,000 viewers, down from last week's 149, but still, you know, up from a year ago. Rampage this past Friday did, remember Rampage's, oh, we got to show this. Remember the Rampage hype? Rampage 100. I got to put that card back on the screen. Where's Rampage 100? I have it right here. Let me see if I could pull it up. Come on. There you go. Oh, that's dynamite. That's still dynamite. Where's my Rampage 100? Oh, come on. Don't spoil the fun. Let me see. This is today. That is Collision. I know I have it. You know what's going to happen? We're going to finish the show and it's going to pop up. Wait, Kenny Omega and Yuta. Okay, where's Rampage 100? I couldn't have deleted it. Oh, wait. Nope. Okay, well, I guess I don't have it. That sucks. Well, anyway, bottom line is Rampage 100. I think the first match was the Elite versus the Dark Order. Then they had some important matches as well. Rampage on Friday did 368,000 viewers, down from the week prior's 450. The high point of Rampage Friday was Claudio Castagnoli versus Commander, which did 510,000 viewers. The low point of Friday's Rampage was a tie. It was Sean Spears versus The Blade, the hype for the Owen Hart tournament, and Hikaru Shida versus Taya Valkyrie. They both did 427,000 viewers. So all that hype for Rampage 100, and you had the Elite on there, and it did 368. SmackDown Friday. All right. This is interesting. SmackDown Friday did 2,561,000 viewers. That is down from the week prior. Well, actually, it's slightly up from the week prior. It's 2,510. They were up 51,000 viewers, so not a bad number. Here's where it gets fascinating. The high point of Friday SmackDown was the Tribal Court, the trial of Roman Reigns. That did 3,077,000 viewers. By far the biggest quarter in recent memory. I don't remember another time where it broke 3 million, any time recent. That quarter did 3,077,000. You want to be blown away? The low point of SmackDown was AJ Styles versus Karrion Kross and the women's segment. They did 2,361,000 viewers. In a matter of 30 minutes, they lost 716,000 viewers. Let that sink in a little bit. The trial of Roman Reigns, obviously everybody's got is glued to it, but as much as we thought those segments were awful and how they treated them, fans were just turning it off. Like, imagine a quarter, 25%. 700,000 fans. Some shows don't get 700,000, period. 700,000+ fans tuned out of SmackDown within 40 minutes. That tells you a lot. We don't have Collision's rating yet. That should come out tomorrow. I'll talk about it on Wednesday Night Dynamite. And Stone Cold takes on America. Last week it did 181,000 viewers, down from the week prior's 200,000. So his numbers down a little bit. All right. Before I give you a little history preview, theme parks and things with Johnny. We're the five spot. Thank you, Johnny. DT, doesn't Cody look like he's the A in American with that angle? Yeah, he does. He's got it. I'm telling you, it's not going to get old because the storylines won't let it get old. You know, when he's, you know, the fascinating thing right now that nobody's talked about, I'll admit I haven't talked about it either. None of you have talked about it. Has anybody talked about it? What's going to happen with Cody after Brock Lesnar? Who's he going to get a feud with next? Is Bobby Lashley going to show up and take him out? Who's going to, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I mean, what happens with Cody Rhodes? Because obviously it's too soon to have him interact with Roman Reigns. So it's going to be interesting. Randy Orton's not a bad idea. That would be something. But Randy Orton coming back, you know, RKO to Cody. All right, maybe. That would be out of nowhere. So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, Bobby Lashley is on SmackDown, so what does that mean? We had people go on one brand and the other before. Didn't somebody recently show up on Raw? And people were like, oh, I thought that person was drafted to SmackDown. They're all under the WWE banner. If it's a good storyline, I don't think anybody's going to complain. You know, people like, shame on you. That person's Raw. Why is they on NXT? Why are they on SmackDown? It's not a big deal. And anyway, WWE could simply say, oh, they did a trade. If they want to put somebody on a different brand, they have 1,000 ways to do it. So, okay. What I decided to do this week, because I didn't want to bore anyone with reading the synopsis from the history shows, because not everybody checks out the history shows. What I decided to do instead, I just decided to grab a bunch of photos from This Week in Wrestling History, this week's episode. And they're random order. So as they pop up, I'm going to just tell you this is part of this week's episode. As you see, this is Black Saturday, Dark Saturday, you know, whatever you want to call it. You know, that is when people tuned into TBS expecting to watch NWA wrestling, and you got Vince McMahon and the World Wrestling Federation. And they actually took over. Didn't they actually call it World Champion? Yeah, they did. Look at the background. World Championship Wrestling. And then Vince sold it back to Turner, I think, for like $1 million. Or the Crockett's, actually. And then that funded WrestleMania. So maybe it was Black Tuesday. Whatever it was a memorable moment in wrestling history. So we cover that. I think I even have a clip of Jim Cornette talking about that. The Ultimate Warrior made his WWF Black Saturday. Thank you, Roderick Howard. I should have stuck with my original choice, right? Ultimate Warrior made his WWF debut, and yes, he was called the Dingo Warrior at the time. That is actually a screenshot from his original debut match. What else happened this week in wrestling history? Obviously, we don't cover, you know, everything in photos. We'd be here for 2 hours. The steroid trial. Vince McMahon, you know, on trial for steroids in the 90s. And his lawyer, Jerry McDivitt, who I used to call Jerry McDipshit, he's retiring this year. So he's been the lawyer for Vince McMahon for like, what, 40 years? You remember that old intro? For over 50 years, the leader in sports entertainment. It's kind of like for over 40 years, that schmuck lawyer. I actually think he's great. He's very, very smart. I mean, you see what he got Vince out of over those decades. You wouldn't want him as your lawyer, let's be honest. I would choose him as my lawyer. But yeah, steroid trial in full-blown. Oh, what is this? Oh, yes. Steve Austin was taking on Owen Hart and the British Bulldog for the WWF tag titles. We didn't know who his mystery partner was, and it ended up being Dude Love, if I remember correctly. And they won. the tag team championships. So we'll cover that. What else? Oh, look at that. CM Punk making demands for Vince McMahon. I want my own ice cream bars, you asshole. He ended up getting them too. So, yeah, CM Punk, Vince McMahon, a little interaction this week in history. Shane McMahon, what is that about? This is the start of the Alliance storyline. This week in history, ECW reformed. Tommy Dreamer, I think, made his WWE debut outside of the Raw appearance leading up to Barely Legal. Vince McMahon, who owned WWF at the time, went to Shane McMahon, who owned WCW at the time, he owned WCW. And what happened was when ECW reformed, Vince wanted Shane help. So with WWF and WCW together as one, they could knock ECW out of business. This was the beginning of the invasion storyline. Unfortunately, by the end of the night, Shane McMahon turned on his father and joined up with ECW, hence the alliance, WCW and ECW. And remember, ECW was owned by Stephanie McMahon. Remember that goofy beanie that she had with the ECW logo? I hated that. That's probably the worst part of the whole storyline. I don't care how good she looked in that ring, them playing off that she's the owner of ECW, oof. They definitely triggered a lot of people this week in history. Eric Bischoff, the new Raw general manager. His name is Eric Bischoff. That happened this week in wrestling history. Very cool. How many photos we got here? Oh, 20-year anniversary. The battle rap. Kurt Angle versus John Cena. Didn't the SmackDown referee do the beatbox that night? Remember that? 20 years ago. Could you believe that rap battle between John Cena and Kurt Angle this week in history 20 years ago? And I have no notes in front of me. I'm just looking at the pictures and reacted to it. So it just kind of brings back memories. Well, we saw that before with Vince. Let's keep going. Bray Wyatt, this week in history. Last week was the 10-year anniversary of the Wyatt family debuting on Raw. This week is the anniversary of Bray Wyatt debuting in NXT. Pretty cool. Bray Wyatt, NXT debut. We cover it this week in wrestling history. Oh, this is awesome. I don't know how good it'll come out on the TV. I'll zoom in. This week in wrestling history, Global Force Wrestling invaded Impact Wrestling, and this is the unaltered photo where Impact Wrestling rented out a 7,000 seat stadium and they drew 134 fans that night. I actually have a photo, same photo, and I actually put a number under each person that's there. It added up to 134, and we had pictures of the opposite side of the arena. So, yeah, 134 fans. All right, how many photos we got left? We should be getting close to the end. Oh, this week in history, the steroid trial. Hulk Hogan testified and admitted for the first time that he took steroids, and it was all over the newspapers. Hulk Hogan, quote, "I use steroids. It kind of gave you an edge," he said. "It kind of gave you an edge, you liar." Oh, this thing rewound. Hold on. Oh, God. There's some doozies coming up. You're going to love this. There we go. All right, let's go to the next one. Because there's some doozies. I don't know if you saw it or not, but this week in history, you had Dennis Rodman, Karl Malone. They actually wrestled inside the WCW ring at the Great American Bash. That was a good match, man. I enjoyed that. I cannot complain about that. This week in wrestling history, Harley Race became first ever King of the Ring, I believe. Oh, no. Did Del Morocco win the first ever King of the Ring? I think so. But Harley Race won this week. He won King of the Ring. All right, continuing. Here you go. This was the big story. Muhammad Hassan officially removed from WWE television. No Raw episodes, no house shows only, pretty much gone. And this episode, we play that promo that never aired on TV. So that will be... By the way, the episode will go live. Yeah, there's another picture of it. I used to enjoy going to the old newspapers and pulling the headlines. This was a moment in history this week. That is Brutus Beefcake on the left. If, in case you didn't know, that is Brutus Beefcake on the left. That, yeah. What was this, Memphis? 1978, I would say. That's Hulk Hogan and Brutus Beefcake, by the way. All right, let's continue. This week in history, this is cool. This must have been 1998. WWE, then WWF, launched their own webcast. It involved Kevin Kelly, Dr. Tom Pritchard. I don't remember who the Matarazzi is on the left. I know I mentioned his name on the history show. But they launched an internet webcast called Code Red. That is a screenshot from it. Yeah, believe it or not, I think that was 1998. I could be wrong on the year, but I think it's 1998. All right, what do we have left here? Oh, who could ever forget? Jeff Jarrett laid down Hulk Hogan, Bash at the Beach. Wasn't it Bash at the Beach? And then after Hulk Hogan pinned Jeff Jarrett got up, walked out. Hulk Hogan walked out, and then Vince Russo, remember he had his Giants jersey on, and he had his head down, and he cut that promo on Hulk Hogan, that piece of shit, and he got sued over it. We obviously cover that this week in wrestling. Now you see why I push these shows. There's so much good shit, and just think, this is maybe not even a third. It's not even a third of the show. This week's episode runs 4 hours. Remember this? Chris Jericho had a game show called Downfall. And I think it lasted 7 episodes or 5 episodes. This week in history, it was canceled. Downfall was gone. I remember that show. I don't remember if we play an audio clip from it. Chris Jericho, I tell you, give him credit. I actually... So charismatic when you see him on VH1 with I Love the 80s Strikes Back or something like that. And he used to do the metal shows and then he ventured doing the game shows. Yeah, that happened this week in history. So we should be coming to a close. Let's see. Oh God. There you go. There you go. There's the beanie. They never put those on sale. You know, technically I'm wearing the same type of hat right now. Look, if I had the ECW logo, I'd be like, yeah. It's not like duck lips. She's like, I have the same type of hat on. You bitch. You bought ECW. Not really, but, you know. We were supposed to hate her. That's what made it good, I guess. Oh, I just fucked it up again. Oh, yeah. We definitely cannot finish this yet. Hold on. Let me pull this up. Okay. Remember when Lita was on WWF Bite This and Matt Hardy called in and everything went off the rails? That, I believe, is coming up. No worries. There you go. Lita on WWF Bite This, Matt Hardy calls in. We played that audio. So that was a train wreck. This week was loaded, man. Shit. Okay, we talked CM Punk earlier. Is that it? That might be it on the fall. Oh, the Nitro Girls made their debut this week in history. What, 1995? Who was your favorite Nitro Girl? Guys in the chat. Girls in the chat. If you identify as neither. Who was your favorite Nitro Girl? I had one. I mean, I can reflect on it now because this is, what, 28 years later? 28 years later. My God. Who was your favorite Nitro Girl? Nobody had a favorite Nitro Girl? Or is it just late? We're just tired. We don't feel like typing. My favorite Nitro Girl was Spice. When they actually tried to make her a wrestling character, I bought in. I'm like, yeah, give me more. When they did, then they started interacting with her and Medusa, and it kind of went off the rails. But for me, it was Spice. So you feel free to post your favorite Nitro girl. We should be coming to a close. I think that's it. I know we're seeing Hogan and Jarrett again. Oh, okay. You know what this is? Last week, the Hardy compound had the first Hardy, the fight, the on the Hardy compound. What was it? What did they call it again? Shit, because it's late. Now I'm getting tired. Well, anyway, this week in history on TNA Wrestling, Impact Wrestling, they debuted, Broken Matt in the Hardy compound, having that crazy fight with Matt Hardy versus Jeff Hardy. WWE, the Final Deletion, yeah. No, it's not Final Deletion. You're going to make me look it up. Well, anyway, you'll remember what this is. A week after the Hardys had their battle on the compound, which might have been the Final Deletion, WWE decided to do one with the Wyatts versus the New Day. And it was on the Wyatt compound? Didn't the New Day drive up? So, yeah, a week after the Hardys did it on Impact Wrestling, WWE did their version with the Wyatt family versus the New Day. That happened this week in history. So I think I'm pretty certain that is the official last photo. Yep, that is definitely the last photo. Little couple of kinks as we went along the way, but first time I've done it that way. I just took a whole bunch of random photos because when I used to do these episodes and that big photo synopsis that I would show, what I would do is, I mean, first you got to try to fit photos on there, but I just would download photos, get newspapers, take screenshots. I used to have access to all the old newspapers, and they're still sitting in my hard drive. So what I did was I just took a whole bunch of them and I just copied them and saved them into this folder and just threw them up there. I figured I would just react live on it. So, but yeah, we're going to come to a close in a minute because we actually ran longer than I expected to, which is not a bad thing. Theme Parks with Johnny with a 10 spot to close it out. Thank you, Johnny. Much appreciated. He doesn't know if this is wrestling related. But for fans, WWE fans, if you are on the West Coast, Universal Studios Hollywood is doing Halloween Horror Nights, and the ticket gets you 6 months of Peacock for free. Wow, that's pretty cool, man. I didn't hear about that one. So for any of you out there, if you have Peacock or you don't have Peacock and you want to get 6 months for free, I mean, I don't know how much the Halloween Horror tickets cost. Now, let me say this, just based on the fact I went to Disney on my honeymoon last year, it's probably like $100. So it's not like you're going to buy that so I can get 6 months of free of Peacock. If you happen to be going to Universal Studios Hollywood, and you want to see Halloween Horror, pick up a ticket because you'll get 6 months of Peacock for free. That's not bad, man. What happens if you buy the ticket, get the code for the 6 months free, and then you cancel the ticket? Because when I went to the Halloween night, it rained. And the tickets we originally had, we canceled them. We got our money back. And then 2 nights later, we ended up buying other tickets and we went. I wonder if you could cancel your tickets, get the 6 months free. I wonder if they would void. I don't think you can because you think Universal Studios Hollywood is going to contact Peacock and say, pull his membership. He canceled this code. I wonder if they give you a discount code. That must be. So, I don't know. There's always ways to scheme. You all should know that. You're not supposed to, but I'm not telling you anything you're not supposed to know. So, all right, everybody. Thank you, Johnny, for that again. And thank you all for joining me live. Much love as always. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. You know the routine here on YouTube. You could watch a cooking show. You could watch a funeral show. You could watch coverage of a shooting. You could watch a true crime thing. You could watch somebody putting on makeup. You could watch a wrestling show. You could watch a boxing show. You could watch a political debate. And at the very end of every show or during the show, if you like it, subscribe, hit that reminder and this and that and hit the like button and tell people. So, yeah, it pertains to me as well. And don't forget, and I got to clarify something tonight, and I thank a few of you who brought this up over the weekend. Never crossed my mind. When I say to all of you out there, make sure you download the audio episodes, DonTony.com, because that's the lifeline of what I do. You don't have to go to DonTony.com. If you enjoy the audio shows on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, anywhere, iHeart, that's the same thing. So if you access the audio shows on a specific platform, that's just as good because they pull the episodes from my site. They pull it from Blue Wire. So wherever you access the shows, you don't have to go to DonTony.com. I want to make that clear, and I appreciate everybody who were asking that question because I should. Anywhere you access the audio episodes of DonTony.com or the Don Tony Show or anything, yeah, that helps a lot. So much love, everyone. Plus, it's pretty cool to see those chartables, you know, and be in the top 20, the top 30, the top 40. You know, they don't include video. That's the thing that sucks. You know, they don't include video. So that obviously hinders the numbers. But all right, I'm out of here. So if you're part of our Patreon family, you are welcome to join Kevin and I tomorrow night live. We are going to do a little Q&A for our patrons. Probably 2 weeks from now, Kevin and I will be back and we'll be doing one for everybody online, which probably be interactive as well, so you'll probably be able to give us some stuff to cover too. And then we got SummerSlam. We'll do predictions for SummerSlam, which is only about a month away, a little less than a month away. So busy couple of weeks coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun. So everyone, I'm out of here. Much love, and I'll catch you all again soon. And thank you as always for the support. Have a great night or a great day, depending on where you are. Or what time you're accessing the show.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills, I paid the hosts, I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right, he's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.